Well, I figured at some point you were going to ask me something about motivation.
You got it.
So, I've been trying to think how to explain this as simply and concisely as I can, because there are so many elements and so many players and so many complications, it's difficult. But it finally occurred to me that the best way might be to just tell you a small part of the story by asking you to imagine in your mind's eye a school bus. And we're traveling back in time. This school bus has just rolled to a stop in a suburban tract neighborhood in 1960s upstate New York. The kids on the bus are returning home from elementary school. It's late September, and autumn in this part of the world can be a bit nippy. But it's really not the weather that's causing one little boy to shiver as he gets off the bus. It's because of the house he's now going to have to walk into and what waits for him there. The boy is 7 years old, or as he would be sure to tell you, almost 7 and a half. And he remembers how things used to be when he had a different family in a different town, in a different house. Well, a mostly different family. Back then, he had a mommy that grown-ups called Heather, a daddy named Harold, a dog that looked a lot like Lassie on TV, but this dog's name was Laddie. And then there was his big sister, Sharon, who might just have been his favorite person in the world. She was certainly the one who always looked out for him. The boy was only 4 years old when Mommy disappeared, but he still remembered lots about her, including times when she would take him to stand on some strange street corner and different men would stop and they'd go for a ride in the strange man's car, sometimes to a house or an apartment or a motel room. But then, after they got to whatever kind of room it was, the little boy's memory always just went blank. But maybe the thing the boy remembered most about Mommy was the morning he woke up in his bed at home and just knew something was wrong. He went out to the front room and saw Daddy standing by the big front window. And then he saw that Daddy had tears streaming down his face, and the little boy got really scared, so he just whispered, "Daddy, where's Mommy?" And Daddy said, "She's gone, Sonny." And the boy whispered a bit more loudly, "Well, when is she coming back?" And the daddy said, "I don't think she's ever coming back." And the boy never saw Mommy again. And no rational adult human being would ever speak to him about her for the rest of his childhood. It was up to another child, his big sister Sharon, to explain what she could. She said Daddy and Mommy had gotten something called a divorce, and that the little boy and Sharon would be spending time at their grandparents' house for a while. Sharon was 10 years old, and she knew lots of stuff. So the little boy would pretty much just nod his head whenever his big sister told him anything, including the time Sharon took him out on the back porch of their grandparents' house and told them that Daddy was getting remarried so that they would have a new mommy. But Sharon said they were getting too old to call anyone Mommy, so instead they would call Daddy's new wife Mother. The little boy nodded his head and whispered the word Mother. Well, it turned out that grown-ups called this mother person Connie, and although the little boy would always call her Mother out loud because his big sister said he should, he sometimes thought of her as Connie in his head because he knew she wasn't really his mother. And Connie made it real clear whenever Daddy wasn't around that she did not like the little boy or his big sister. And Daddy was not around a lot. He had some kind of job that kept him on the road most of the time, and he usually only came home on weekends. Sharon did what she could to keep the little boy safe, until one day, a little before the boy's 6th birthday, Daddy and Connie and Sharon and the little boy all got into the family's old Ford car and went for a drive into the city. They ended up getting out in front of a big gray building with lots of steps in front of it. It was cold outside, but the little boy was told to wait outside with Mother, And then Daddy and Sharon walked up the steps and went into the building. A long time later, Daddy came down the steps all by himself. They got back into the car, and nobody said anything about what had happened to Sharon. But now the little boy's big sister had disappeared too. He would not see her again for almost 20 years, and for the rest of his childhood, no rational adult human being would ever mention anything about Sharon again. But there was one person. She was just not a rational adult. At least the little boy couldn't think of her that way because she was always yelling and being really mean, at least whenever Daddy was not around. Because it was Connie who was always saying mean, awful things about Heather, about Sharon, and about the little boy. About how stupid and ugly and horrible the boy was, and how the world would be a much better place if he had never been born. Now, it wasn't too long after his big sister disappeared that Daddy and Connie and their dog Laddie moved to this new house in this new town where nobody knew the true story about this family or that the little boy used to have a different mommy and a big sister who used to watch out for him. So now the little boy is getting off that school bus, coming home from second grade and shivering because he has no idea what Connie would be yelling at him about today. Whether it would be another story about how terrible he was or how it was because his mommy Heather used to be sickened by how ugly the little boy was and that's why she went away. Or another shouted warning about how she, Connie, had gotten rid of his big sister Sharon and he had better just watch out because anytime she felt like it, she could get rid of him too. But it turned out that what Connie had to tell the little boy this time was something completely different than anything he had ever heard before, and it was the most terrible thing of all.
You gonna spit it out?
Fairly obvious the little boy was me.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that in order to talk about motivation, I have to kind of get into the head of a 7-year-old boy and invite other people too to do that. Because it's real easy as grown-ups to put a lot of distance between ourselves and what happens to children or what happened to us when we were children. So the little boy goes into the house and he realizes right away that this is not going to be one of the days when Connie starts yelling at him right away because there are cookies and milk on the kitchen table. And a cookies and milk day means either there'll be no yelling or it will be a while before the yelling starts. But Connie sits him down and says, "You're old enough now that you need to know some things." And she says, "You know that I'm not your real mother." And the boy nods, because he knows that. And he says, she says, "Well, you know that Heather wasn't your real mother either." And this is a bit confusing. But the boy figures, well, Mommy left me, and she left me because she couldn't stand me, so maybe that means she never was my mother. So he nods. And Connie says, "And Sharon wasn't your sister." And this is really confusing. And Connie says, "But maybe the main thing that you never knew is that your daddy isn't your daddy." And then she explained why she always called the little boy a bastard. And that when the little boy was born, his parents had not yet gotten married, his biological parents. And Daddy felt sorry for him, and that's why he took him into the house, where at that time it was Daddy and Heather and Sharon and the dog Laddie. And even after his biological parents got married, according to Connie, they still didn't want him, so Daddy was burdened with him, and he couldn't get rid of him, and he didn't know what to do, because he felt so sorry for him, and Daddy was such a good man, that he decided to let little Tommy stay around. But he really wished he could get rid of him, because he was such a burden. And then she said, "Your real parents are the people you think are your aunt and uncle that you call Betty and Bill. And they are evil, terrible people." And she also said, "This is all important for you to know. And to behave yourself so that you stop being such a burden and such a horrid child. But if you ever tell anybody that I told you about this, I'll kill you." And since the little boy lived in fear that that was something that she might do any day, any night, he believed her. And so I spent the rest of my childhood keeping those secrets. In my case, one of the things that's been going on for 20 years that I just couldn't understand was just incredible hunger throughout the day, especially hunger at night, waking up feeling both very afraid and very, very hungry. And it wasn't until I was in my late 20s or early 30s that I began to get in touch with those memories that the little boy had blocked of what happened when he went into those rooms with the strange men where his mommy, Heather, was working as a prostitute. Let alone what sometimes happened to him at night in his own bed when she would bring some of her boyfriends home when her husband was out of town, which he was most weeknights. Getting repeatedly attacked by surprise, whether it's sexual abuse or something different, and in my case it was both, can have an effect on you decades later.